Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, this morning we're thankful that you're more than enough. Father, you told Paul that when he besought you at least three times that your grace was sufficient for him. In Hebrews it says it is a good thing for the heart to be established with grace. And Father, we know that this path we're on, following you, Jesus, that you are getting us acquainted with your grace. Father, some in recent days have sent loved ones on to be with you in heaven. Father, we pray for them that are left behind. Father, they have the assurance, the Palmer family specifically have the assurance that Miss Sharon is on streets of gold this morning serving Jesus. And Father, though there's the grieving process, and in my mind that could last until Jesus comes because you're sending a child on to be with the Lord. But Father, we're thankful that we know where she's at. And Lord, there is a new grace that's been established to the Palmer's heart this very moment that they've not needed yet. And we're thankful for that. And Father, for everything that you do for us is pure grace and pure mercy. God, even to have the doors of Calvary open and for there to be people here who want to serve you and live for you and who are eager to hear from you, Lord, what a blessing. I take not that for granted, nor does anybody in here, I do believe. And Father, we want to worship you this morning, as Brother Allen stated during choir practice and even right before we sang this first song, let's worship Jesus. My prayer this morning is simply, Father, that we surrender all to you. Help us surrender. Help us continue to surrender. But Lord, I pray that you'd use Calvary Baptist Church as the body of Jesus to serve those who are here and to serve our community. Lord, we love you. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome this morning to Calvary Baptist Church. Say it's good to see each and every one of you. I wonder if we have any first-time visitors this morning. If this is your very first time, would you raise your hand? I didn't think I've seen anybody for the very first time, but it bears repeating. And we do have some visiting with us, and it's so good to have you. We're so honored for you to be here. And let me just say this, that in my prayer I did mention, and many of you got the phone tree, the column post, and if you're a member and you did not receive one yesterday, please let me know that. We want to make that right and add you. I know there's a couple of our new members that I'm in the process of adding that weren't added, and so just bear with us a little bit on that. But again, Miss Sharon went home to be with the Lord yesterday around 11:30, and it seems like she was just checked in there at Cobb Tranquility, and then the Lord called her home. And so whenever there's any arrangements, I will pass them over. And if you hear of any, let me know so we can make it abroad within the church. And I know she's going to be at Clark Funeral Home. But let's pray for the Palmers. Let's pray for the children, the granddaughters. I had the opportunity to meet them yesterday and pray with them. And they're in need of our prayer. They're in need of our prayers. And I want to mention a few things to you, and then we'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Several prayer requests. We're just going to highlight a few. Miss Glenda Henderson, her and Brother David are in Florida this morning, but she got a good report back from her CT scan. Seems like that she has passed that kidney stone. She said Miss Nancy McClendon went also this past week, Friday I believe it was, for a nuclear stress test. It came back clear. I say thank God to that, because that sounded dangerous, nuclear stress test. But anyway, that came back clear. Miss Glenda's came back clear. Brother Joe Vandiver got his second Cadillac surgery done. And so he's, both headlights are working. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. He can see. And Joe started that a few Wednesday nights ago on Wednesday night. He says, I got to have my Cadillac worked on. And so cataract surgery, that's a praise. Let's pray for Edward Sandvi, one of our new members. They're visiting friends this week and weekend and next week in Florida, but he had an endoscopy on Friday. Not sure how that went, but he requested prayer. Then Miss Joanne Rich, Eddie Rich, their grandson Eli, is scheduled for surgery on September 9th. And so let's pray for him. I don't see Harold off this morning, but Harold gave us a good report on Wednesday night concerning his prostrate, I believe it was, that his numbers are down, and that's a good thing. And he says he's feeling much better. So, Brother Harold, if you're home and listening, we praise the Lord with you. And Miss Nancy Farmer's here. She fell, and she's in an arm brace, but she's here. And so we're praying for Miss Nancy Farmer this morning. A few reminders. Today is Men's Brotherhood and Women's CLU. We're looking forward to that. Remember that at 4 o'clock. Let's take advantage of these two ministries. This is an opportunity to come in fellowship, to be encouraged, to encourage in a time of prayer. We really want to strengthen these two ministries. And so make plans being with us today if you can at 4 o'clock at the church. Tuesday night, Calvary Singing at Florida Road Baptist Church and their Jubilee, 7 o'clock. Homecoming is on the 15th of September. Remember that. And then one more thing, and then we will give it to Brother Allen. We're going to have the honor and the great joy of having an upcoming ordination here at the church. And it's our honor, my honor and joy and privilege, as well as the church, to ordained Brother Jeff Hodges as a deacon of Calvary. And so we want to give a round of applause for this. This is, deacons are sought out. Deacons are sought out. And this is a very humbling experience. If you're an ordained minister or deacon, you know it's a humbling experience. It's a heavenly calling. And so we praise the Lord for this, and we're trying to build that area. We're going to shoot for October, but definitely want to get it in before the holidays. They're upon us. They are coming fast, and so remember this. All right. We come this morning to worship. Let's let go and let God, and let Him have His way this morning. Amen? Amen. Brother Allen.
Choir, stand with me. Church, stand with me. I sense the presence of the Lord in this place this morning, and I trust that you do as well. Could we sing the chorus that simply says, Jesus, Jesus, there is something about that name. Could we sing it again this morning? Sing it again with me this morning.
Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, there's just something about
Yes, there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated, church. Choir, you can be seated. Again, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And please do remember all the announcements and prayer requests that have been given this morning. And, of course, COU Brotherhood today at 4 o'clock. Immediately following that, choir practice today. It'll be around 5, maybe a touch after. And I do please pray for the choir as we go over to join the Floyd Road Baptist Choir. We'll call it the Jubilee Choir on Tuesday evening. We're very excited. They're excited about having us with them. It'll be a great night. On Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, and Brother Craig Edwards will be preaching that night. And if you can come and be with us, we'd sure appreciate it. If you can't go and be there in the body, please come in the spirit and pray. Amen? And it'll be a great night, but we look forward to it. And do remember, homecoming is right around the corner, September the 15th. And we'll give you a little more about that as we get a little bit closer. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning, and I pray for the service, pray for pastor, and now let's pray for the offering. Just pray that the Lord give us a great day in the house of the Lord today. Brother Charlie Wilson, would you lead us as we pray?
Thank you. didn't understand why he wouldn't come as they made their way toward the other side. As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea, there someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their names, and tenderly he said, "It is I." He's the eye of the sun, not understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of their sea. But with little faith in God's good grace, joy would overcome their disbelief. Now there are times in life when I face the storm, and I wonder if I ever will survive.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like you were in the middle of that storm? And you were waiting for the Lord and wondering, where in the world could he be? You hear the crash of the thunder, and you're just waiting, hoping for him to hear your cry. I've been there, and I know you have as well. Would you pray for me for a minute? I'm going to try my best to share a song with you that says, Lord, just keep me safe till the storm passes by. In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face, while a storm howls above me, and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious hear my cry and keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over. Till the thunder sounds no more. Till the clouds from the sky. Lord, keep me safe till the storm passes by.
enjoy the singing this morning. Say amen. Appreciate the special. What a singer. Excellent singing, singing about Jesus. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Turn to the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles number 4. It seems strange this morning. I don't have Harold already calling the page number to me. And I'll say, I kind of miss it. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. And this morning I want to look into two verses, verse number 9 and, Lord willing, verse number 10. If time does not permit to get to verse number 10, we will, if God desires so, look at it tonight. But I do want to bow forward a prayer, and then I want to read out of 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, verse 9 and 10. Father, we come one more time in no other name but Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful that you're sustainer. Lord, you bring us through the storms of life. You teach us things that cannot be learned from a book other than the Bible. This morning we pray, Lord, that you would help us get out of the way. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll communicate the truths of your word to the hearts of your people. If there's one here that doesn't know you personally, I pray today that you would make that evident to them and they would ask you to come in their heart and be king. Father, for the rest of us that know you, I pray that you would draw us close, keep us safe. God, if we need certain instruction, I pray that you'll bestow it. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do and for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. Notice in verse number 9, the Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." I want to stop there in verse number 10, and I want to talk to you about the life of Jabez. The life of Jabez. And the only thing we know about Jabez are in these two verses, with the exception of chapter number 2 and verse number 55, where there's an actual place called Jabez, and perhaps the place called Jabez followed the prayer of Jabez, that God indeed did bless him and enlarge him, his coast, that is. There's one thing that jumps out to me immediately when I read these two verses, and that is that God is showing me personally that he can do a whole lot in a small amount of time. Again, in chapter number 4, we have Judah's descendants, and chapter number 3, and chapter number 2, chapter number 1, all these descendants. But in chapter number 4, there's these two verses set aside for this man Jabez. And that tells me something, that God can do a whole lot with one person. Doesn't say much about all the other ones that have been begotten, and this one begot that one begot this one, and that one begot that one. But there's a pause here, and special emphasis upon the man Jabez. You know, God this morning can do a whole lot in a small amount of time, and God this morning can do a whole lot with one person. From time to time, I have to filter my mind and I have to examine my mind and my heart as to my perception of ministry. I say that because sometimes it's easy to get wrapped up in numbers and who's here, who's not here, where you want to be. when God emphasizes much of the time through the entirety of the Bible that it all started with one person. In the beginning, God. And then we have Adam and Eve, and we fast forward to the New Testament. And it was Simon Peter's brother, Andrew, that found him and led him to the Lord. There's a whole lot of things about oneness in the Bible. Unity is in the Bible, meaning concerning the number one. And so I have to examine my own mind and motives in life and in the church scene, even in the business world and the other scenes of life, because what really matters is one person. What really matters is reaching that one person. What really matters is taking time out and sitting down with that one person and pouring your life into them. And what you'll find many times that you may be pouring your life into the next Peter. You may be pouring your life into the next Billy Graham or missionary. Or listen, you may be pouring your life into the next person who takes in a lot of kids and develops their own home in that matter. You never know. Here is Jabez, and the Lord speaks in these two verses. And I want to just mention some things. I want to mention two things about Jabez with the two verses we have. Number one, in the life of Jabez, I want to talk about his person. And that's in verse number 9. Who was he? What can we learn out of this one verse about the man Jabez? But then I want to talk about his prayer. What is it about the prayer of Jabez that has many people writing books like Bruce Wilkinson's The Prayer of Jabez? This little bitty small book. And I'm telling you, there's apples of gold in that book. It's a blessing, The Prayer of Jabez. You've heard it, The Prayer of Jabez, down through the years. You have heard, you probably, some of you have taught on it. But these are just my gleanings that I feel the Lord has impressed me with this morning. Number one, let's look into his person. What are some helpful things to learn about Jabez? I want to say this morning, there are some helpful things that we all can learn about Jabez that's wrapped up in his name. In his name. Notice verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Much to learn about Jabez is wrapped up in his name. I mean, his name and in his prayer. And you try to study more about Jabez, and there's not much other than what other writers have said, but his person, and a lot to learn, is wrapped up in his name. So what about his name? That's so interesting. Well, let's look at the meaning of his name. The meaning of his name. The name Jabez means sorrow or grief. He says again in verse number 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. There's the very definition of his name in verse number 9. It means sorrow. What was it that was so sorrowful during this time that would make Jabez's mother name him Jabez? Meaning sorrow, meaning grief. Well, this painful process, it says that because I bear him with sorrow, we know immediately, at least the women know that have kids, that there is sorrow of pain during childbearing. But then when the babe comes, there's great joy because he or she is born into the world. You forget about the sorrow and pain. But what is it specifically? Well, number one, it could have to do with physical pain, as I just said. Or it could have to do with emotional pain, or both. It could be emotional pain along with physical pain that inspired Jabez's mother to name him Jabez, because I bear him with sorrow. This could be because of physical pain and or emotional pain. And so immediately, right off the bat, when we look at the person of Jabez, we see that much of his identity is wrapped up in his name. It means sorrow. It means grief. And his mother had some kind of physical pain and or emotional pain during the childbirth scene. That leads me to say this. Jabez had humble beginnings. He had humble beginnings. Because of this birth scene, immediately when he was born, his mother had tears of sorrow in her eyes. Physical pain, emotional pain. And now I'm speculating a little and I'm reading in between the lines, so to speak, but possibly she was a single mother because there's no mention of the father. And so we have humble beginnings with Jabez. He is born into this world with sorrow, and his mother possibly has sorrowful eyes filled with tears because of this painful emotional process of childbearing. Now she's trying to raise Jabez, and she's having to be father and mother to Jabez. That's a humble beginning in life. I had the benefit and the blessing of having both of my parents being raised. I know what it's like to have a daddy. I know what it's like to have a mother. And I know what it's like for both of them to work. I know what it's like for mom to be a stay-at-home mom. And listen, I've had those blessings in my life. But maybe some of you haven't. Maybe some of you were raised in a home that was much like Jabez's home. Maybe there was a beginning that was humble there for you. Maybe mom was there and daddy wasn't there. Maybe daddy was there and mama wasn't there. This is a very humble start in life. This is a start in life that is kind of cramped and crippled because from the beginning of time, God has designed a biblical home and a biblical marriage. One man, one woman to be father and mother of their children. But it doesn't always work out that way, does it? Things in life happen. People make choices and things happen. And listen, all the time we don't understand why some have an imbalance in life. I was born balanced. I had mother and father. But some this morning possibly were born with an imbalance, only one and not the other. And we're looking into the life of Jabez. Jabez was ultimately and greatly used of God. And listen, I want to encourage this morning that God takes people with humble beginnings and uses them greatly. That's what He does. That's the kind of God that we serve. He takes the least likely, the unlikely, and He draws them with cords of love unto Himself, and they cry out for salvation and repentance, and God lifts them up and God uses them mightily so that God will get the glory. That's a blessing this morning. We see this morning that there's Jabez. The meaning of his name means sorrow and grief. I want to go a step further, and I want to look not only at the meaning of his name, but let's look at the mention of his name. The mention. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." We know the meaning, but what about the mention? This is the only place outside of chapter 2, verse 55, that mentions Jabez to my knowledge. And it was a place in chapter 2, verse number 55, but this is the first mention of the name of Jabez. And the reason why that's significant, because unto this point, there has been no other mention of his name except for chapter 2. He had no formal introduction as other begotten family members. Look at it. Look at chapter number 4, but look at verse number 7. And the sons of Heloh were Zereth and Jazor and Ethnan. Verse number 8, and Coz begot Anub and Zobeba and the families of Aharil, the son of Haram. And if you back up and you read all the way to the beginning of chapter 4, chapter 3, chapter 2, chapter 1, this one begot that one. They all had formal introductions, but not Jabez. You see, Jabez, the very mention of his name is a miracle. God got a hold of somebody in the family lineage and lifted them up and used them. Didn't have a proper introduction. Wasn't begotten of any brethren. That wasn't mentioned. The family tree was branching out, business as usual. No formal intro as other begotten family members. Now the family tree is branching out, business as usual. This one begot that one, and life went on. History repeated itself. This one begot that one, and life went on, and history repeated itself. I wonder if there's any families here where history has been repeating itself. This one begot that one, and life repeated itself. History went on, and then this one begot that one, and history repeated itself. But then God got you. But then God started with someone in your family. It was not a handful. It was not a few, but it was one. God got a hold of one person. And God showed himself mighty to that one person. And now this bland, business as usual family tree that was branching out, God stops and uses two paragraphs to talk about what he can do with a person who is tender toward the Lord. Somebody whose ear is bent toward heaven. Somebody who's sick and tired of being sick and tired. Somebody who's tired of the family tree and family sins repeating themselves over and over. This one begot that one, and history repeated itself. Daddy was a drunkard. Mama was a drunkard. And there was everybody, people went to jail and got bailed out of jail. Listen. Are you tired of history repeating itself? My beckoning to you this morning, my encouragement to you, my admonition this morning is give your heart and life to Jesus, whoever you are, and you be the start of a new family tree going in a new direction for Jesus. We see this morning that the mention of his name out of nowhere, and Jabez. Can I give a personal testimony a little bit different than I usually give? History kept repeating itself in my family. Drugs and alcohol, no church, I can do it on my own. Yeah, I had mom and daddy. We weren't raised in church. I was 20 when I got saved. I'll be 38 in April. History repeated itself. This one dropped out of high school and got involved with the nightlife and all these friends and had early pregnancies and you know, now they can't work, have to live off the government. And listen, this was my family down through the years. Lived in the projects. I know about that. But I praise the Lord that the day that God saw fit to get a hold of my brother, number one. My brother was a former bodybuilder. He was the youngest at least 10 years ago, to ever win Mr. Georgia. I mean, he was a ninja turtle, man. He'd walk in the gym, and this abdomen area, it wasn't filled with moon pies. It was a turtle shell. I mean, it was... People would stand around just look at him. I ain't kidding you. We both went to Osborne High School, and he played football, and everybody was just all over him, and, you know, just... all the guys, and where we going tonight, you know, after the football game. And my brother, he competed for a while, but after a long while, he understood that there's a certain lifestyle that goes along with that. Steroids follow, and he got involved. Infidelity follows that kind of lifestyle many times. Drugs and alcohol, being away from home. He was getting ready to sign a paper for a sponsor down in Miami, Florida, for a contract with a protein bar, and moved down there. One night he went to a winter retreat with Floyd Road up to Tennessee, and sat under preaching and came back, and from what he tells me, he went straight to the altar. Brother Bob Daugherty was preaching, guest preacher at Floyd Road, to follow that mission they went on. And my brother went and got saved. 2 years later, on the very same day, I got saved. And my brother said this in the past, and I know he'll say it again. He said, "Justin, I traded my worldly trophy in. Now you're my trophy." There was a change in my family tree. I have nothing to gloat about. I have nothing to glory about. You know why? Because every single day there's an old man that wants to deviate back. But because of the Lord in me, I press forward. But it was a change in the family tree. Things are not the same anymore in my family tree. Lily, God, by the grace of God, will never know what it's like going out and partying and drinking. By the grace of God, I say that. And listen, she has a nice home and a mother and father, and we eat dinner together. How many families never eat dinner together? There's been a change in my family. I wonder how many changes has happened out here. I'm sure everybody can testify that life was going in one direction, but God. Life was going this way, but God. You know, life was going this way, but God. And listen, everything ain't fixed because we're saved now. It's still a battle. It's still a war. But God. God makes all the difference in this thing. Try living life without God. Try living life not knowing Jesus. I have no earthly idea how I made it when I did without God. Well, I do now. It was because of God. He had a plan. He had a purpose like He does for every individual in here. God has a plan and has a purpose. We just need to be tender toward Him. Give our hearts to Him if we're not already saved. But God, Jabez had the same story. All of these people, this one begot that one, history repeated itself. Verse number 9, and Jabez, no formal introduction. No, this was my mama, this was my daddy. It was just God just stuck Jabez right there in the middle of the family tree and said, look what I did with this young man. No introduction. No, nothing was laid out for him. And he couldn't brag about mom and daddy. It mentions his mother, but not even her name. Yet God used him greatly. I want to say this morning, you may have been experiencing humble beginnings. Maybe even right now you are experiencing that. But God, God wants to use you. We serve a God that has a way of getting involved in our life, especially when people are praying, especially when you're being loved by God's people. Listen, as God's people this morning, let's pray for the lost to get saved. Let's pray for our church members to be encouraged. Let's pray that we can move on at Calvary in our community because we want to serve Jesus because we was called for a purpose. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. The mention of his name. Till this point, there was business as usual. The meaning of his name, sorrow. But then what about the making of his name? The making of his name. Notice what word is used to clarify or to show the character of Jabez. He says in verse number 9 again, and Jabez was more honorable than all his brethren. The word honorable here, it means to bring honor. It means worthy of honor. It means honest. It means moral. It means distinguished. I'll go a step further and say that the very character of Jabez, he was an honorable man. He was an honest man. He was a moral man. He was a man who paid his debts. He was a man who knew his calling. God, help us men be biblical men. Help us pay our debts, know our calling. Help us men be biblical men, be honorable men who love our wives and listen, who are parents, who love our kids. Help us be biblical men this morning. Jabez was a biblical man. He was, the Bible says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. He brought honor to the table. He was honest and moral, paid his debts, shook hands in the community, had a smile on his face, desired godly things in life. This was all because God reaching out, but in return, Jabez was definitely sensitive to the voice of God. And this is the life of Jabez concerning his person. And much is to be learned about Jabez concerning his person. It's all wrapped up in his name. Sorrow, grief, the mention of his name, the making of his name. Then there's a second thing I want to mention. It's found in verse number 10. We see his prayer. His person, but what about his prayer? Again, there's all kinds of books. There's all kinds of sermons. You've heard it. You've probably taught about it, spoke about it, shared it at work or school. What about his prayer? In verse number 10, the Bible says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." The prayer of Jabez, first of all, the prayer of Jabez was a directed prayer. It was a directed prayer. The Bible says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel." Jabez knew the coveted God. He knew about God coveting with Israel based upon who God was and not who Israel was. And so Jabez called on that God. His prayer was directed to heaven, the God of Israel, who had promises and blessings to bestow. We know Old Testament versus New Testament is different. We know that. We realize that. But we have Jabez with a directed prayer, the prayer of Jabez. He directed his prayers toward God. First of all, before you can call on God, you have to know God. Remember the model prayer, the prayer that the Lord prayed in the book of Matthew? What does he say? He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Sometimes I think folks in this world, they're calling on God, but God's not hearing them because they're not calling on God through Jesus. They don't know God because they've never accepted Jesus. The Bible also says that God reigns on the just and the unjust. We know that even now, we know that God was good to us before salvation. But if we want our prayers to be heard this morning, we have to know God. Do you know God this morning? Listen, I know based upon your testimony, the majority knows God here, but there may be some that don't know God. And you're in the bind of your life. Listen, how are you going to expect your prayers to be heard by God the Father if you don't even know God the Son? The only way to the Father is through the Son. It's because of our sin that separates. Listen, all are born with a sinful nature. That's Bible. And if we never come to the cross and kneel a knee and say, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm separated from you. I know you don't hear my prayers, God, but right here and right now, I accept Jesus as my penalty for my sin. I want my prayers to be heard. Hear my prayer, Lord." If you've done that, guess what? You're connected to God the Father through God the Son. And there is a throne room of grace that you can crawl into on hands and feet if need be. And you can call out to your Heavenly Father through the Heavenly Son. Do you know God this morning? Maybe that's why things aren't changing for you, because you don't know God. Now is the time to know God. He said, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel." The prayer of Jabez was a directed prayer, but then the prayer of Jabez was a defined prayer. Look what he said. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me." Look at this word. "Indeed." You know, sometimes when we're talking, Brother Allen, would you do this for me, brother? Brother Ceylon, would you do this? Or Brother Ceylon, I'm doing this next week. It's one thing. But if I say, "Brother Ceylon, I'm doing this next week indeed. Brother Allen, could you please do this for me indeed?" You know, it's just, it adds to. It's a defined request. It's a defined resolve. Indeed means, "I'm going to do it. I want it." This is more than just asking. Jabez said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. Indeed, it's not lay me down, Father, to sleep. If I die before I awake, praise the Lord, my soul to take, bless this food, nourish my body, blah, 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 blah." No. It wasn't Wednesday night. He comes crawling to church. "Lord, bless this church, blah, blah, blah." He said, "Lord, that thou would bless me indeed. Indeed bless me." Listen, when's the last time you prayed with some indeeds in your prayer? "Lord, I don't just want God to bless Calvary, but I want God to bless Calvary indeed. God, listen, I don't want you to just save souls at Calvary, but I want you to save souls at Calvary indeed. Lord, what about that lost family member? I don't want to die and go to hell. Praise the Lord, their soul to take. No, but I want you to save my grandpa. I want you to save my grandma. Indeed, Lord." It's all about that little word, indeed. And Jabez said in his prayer, that's why his name is mentioned here, is because he said, "Oh, Lord, thou would bless me indeed." You remember Jacob? Wrestling? Oh, all that wrestling? "Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord so hard, he had a limp from that experience. And sometimes when we're wrestling with God in life, we're wanting God's best. We're wanting God to intercede. We're wanting God to smile on our ministry. We're wanting God to bless us indeed. Sometimes we walk away from a limp because it doesn't always come in a pleasant way. Sometimes it's painful to get blessed by God. Sometimes you got to get your feelings hurt to get blessed by God. Sometimes it takes about 5 or 10 years for God to start smiling on a ministry. But if that's what it means for God to bless indeed, that will we do, church. My word to you this morning, we're going to stay in the fight. We're going to enjoy His blessings. But my prayer is that every time we pray, every song we sing, everything we do, every outreach we do it with indeedness. Indeedness. We see the prayer of Jabez was a defined prayer. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Look at this. The prayer of Jabez was a detailed prayer. He said, "And enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. This detailed prayer, number one, had to do with blessings. He prayed for God to bless him. Listen, it's okay to pray for God's blessings as long as we are not controlled by the blessings. It's okay to pray for God's blessings when we're more involved in after the blesser than the blessings. Jabez's heart was given to the blesser. It wasn't that he wanted these blessings to loaf around town and kick up dust and point his finger at anybody that wasn't in church Sunday. He wanted his... Don't you want God's blessing added on your life much more than it is now? Listen, there's people that need to get saved. There's things in our life going on we're dealing with. There's things in your life. We want God's blessing. And Jabez said, and he prayed, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." This blessing prayer was in the right context because he was involved and was after the blesser, not so much the blessing, but knew how to get the blessing. The prayer of Jabez was a detailed prayer. It had to do with blessings, but also had to do with prosperity. He said, "And enlarge my coast." He wanted to be more influential. He wanted to impact. He wasn't after a private jet to fly from meeting to meeting. he wasn't trying to broadcast a message and pray to God and ask for riches untold and all of these things. He wasn't trying to ask for a private jet. He wasn't trying to give a message to the public that if you ask God for what you want, then He'll give it to you. You'll have a fine house and a large bank account and fine cars. No. That wasn't from the heart of Jabez. If this is all we have to go on from Jabez, then we really have to look into the very heart of Jabez. I said a moment ago, the only other place that the name Jabez is mentioned is in chapter 2, verse number 55. You tell me if God didn't grant that request or not. There was a very place named after Jabez. It was for Jabez to be influential. He wanted to impact. He wanted to have a ministry. He felt as though he didn't reach his ultimate fulfillment in the capacity he was serving in. He wanted God to extend his coast. Let me say this about ministry extension. The more God does, the more that's required of us. And the question that is in my heart every day is, am I ready for more? Based upon what we're doing now. And my answer to that is, it's what I preached on Wednesday night. A prayer, a lifelong prayer. Proverbs 30, Agur. He said, Lord, feed me with daily bread. Don't give me more. Don't give me less. I don't want to curse you. I don't want to forget about you. Give me what's allotted to me, prescribed to me. That's my prayer. Lord, I am totally fine with the pace we're at now. Because it's just enough to know we have to move forward. But it's not overwhelmingly enough that I'll fall by the wayside trying to make some things happen. Number one, I know it's God that makes things happen. And number two, I know that stride is everything when it comes to ministry, comes to leadership, and it comes to a marathon. You've heard of the tennis shoe stride rights? There's a reason for that. It's because even in a marathon, there has to be a stride. We went to go see Overcomer Thursday night. This is only the second time I've shouted in a movie theater. I couldn't forbear anymore. The little girl was in a marathon. She had an inhaler attached to her and all this other stuff. I don't want to spoil the movie for you, but she was coached. Honey, this is a long race. This isn't a sprint. Find a sustainable pace. And when you see somebody within reach, take them. Then get your pace back. You see something else in front of you, take them. Get your pace back. Because on that last stretch, there's going to be another one you're going to have to take, and you need to empty everything you have and take them. So is life, ministry, family, jobs. It's not a sprint. I think that many times that's the reason why there's empty pews. There's divorces. There's things that happen in life because they think and their approach is that it's a sprint. I'll give everything I have now. Guess what? We're going to need you later. We need daddy later. We need that church member later. It's great that you're excited and you're doing things, but pace yourself because there's enemies involved here. Brother Ken said last Sunday morning after the message, he said, and he used the verse in Ephesians, a great door has been opened to us, but there's many adversaries. Jabez had the right kind of stride. He asked God to bless him, but then he asked God to enlarge him. God did that. Let me mention another thing. We'll be through in a couple minutes. It was a detailed prayer. He asked for blessings. He asked for prosperity. He asked for guidance, he said. And that thine hand might be with me. He asked for God's guidance. He asked for safety. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil. He asked for purity. He wanted to stay pure. Look what he says. That it may not grieve me. Jabez wanted to be a pure man of God. And so this prayer is detailed. It had to do with blessings, prosperity, guidance, safety, purity. But then lastly, this was a delighted prayer when it came to Jabez. The Bible says, and God granted him that which he requested. God gave a grant. I wrestled a while last night before I sent my title. I told Brother Harold, he stays on top of them titles. Bless your heart, brother. We love you. They don't always come before the sun goes down on Saturday. I'm big about titles because I want it to be simply understood. I want it to be, it matters to me. Because this is a mini book I'm wanting to teach and preach on Sundays and Wednesdays. So I was stuck. I was wrestling around last night with a grant-given God. God gives grants, and He does. But I just rested this morning on the life of Jabez, his person and his prayer. But God granted his prayer. God granted his prayers because of the heart that it came from. It was an honorable man. He was honorable because the Lord was involved. But he was after God in his heart. God granted his prayer. God warded off evil out of his life. God made him a success. His ultimate success was that he had a relationship with Jehovah God and listened to his voice. And God blessed him. The prayer of Jabez was a delighted prayer. God delighted in this prayer and granted it for him. Detailed prayer, defined prayer, directed prayer. My question to you this morning is this. What do you need to pray about? And do you know God the Father to direct your prayer to Him? And majority I know, but listen, there may be one who does not know. Whatever the case is, whatever you need this morning, the invitation is extended to you. As we stand to our feet, you come if you need to come this morning.